In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin our service this evening in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings of the day. We thank you for so many things, but above all, temporal things, dear Father. We praise your name for the merit work of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Such perfect work that all we need to do is believe that our sins have been atoned for and they are forgiven through his name and his blood. We ask this evening that you would grant words unto us this evening, for your honor and glory, for the strengthening of our life of faith. And we yet open with that familiar prayer that we have so oftentimes turned to thee with: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This evening we will pause before God's Word, this time reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark, from the 13th chapter. We will read verses 32 through 37, again with that prayer that if it would be God's will to give up his Word, we will speak those words with that hope that we could receive those words into a believing heart. And the words are in Jesus' name as follow. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all: watch. Amen. We have already heard God's holy and precious word this morning as it relates unto us of the theme for this week and this day. And as our dear brother mentioned, next Sunday would be the last Sunday of the church calendar year. And as the last thing that any one of us will do is we will, in this mortal body or this mortal mind, we will come before the judgment seat of God. So next Sunday will speak unto us of judgment. These words are that exhortation to us that we would watch. And Jesus says, not only unto you, but unto all. This particular portion of God's word follows a portion of God's word when Jesus was in the temple with his disciples and he was speaking and teaching as he did many days and oftentimes in his life, his public ministry life. But in that particular time, he was in the temple and the disciples were with him, and the temple was a beautiful place to the eyes of man. And they could see the magnificent structure there that had been constructed, and I think it took 46 years to build that temple grounds and the colonnades that surrounded the temple there in Jerusalem. And as that place was in Jesus' time, it was referred to as Herod's temple. And so we remember that Solomon had built that temple as God had allowed during his reign, that a place where they could gather around God's word and make those sacrifices of the Old Testament, they could be done there in that city of Jerusalem. And before that, their sacrificial worship service took place first in that tent in the wilderness, but then in the city of Shiloh. But that temple that Solomon had built was also a beautiful place and had much gold and other precious metals there. But that place had been destroyed. And it had been rebuilt and destroyed. And so this time of Jesus, it was probably more grand in its outward appearance maybe as it had ever been. And the disciples, because they were people like you and I, I'm guessing they were somewhat impressed at the magnificence of that place. And so they had been with Jesus, and Jesus was speaking to the most important matters of life, and that's the matters of salvation. And they were showing Jesus the buildings of the temple, and Jesus told them that there will not be left one stone here upon another of this place. And he said in this way, he says, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so this caught the curiosity of the disciples, that what is this now that he's now speaking to us, that this place that we are now standing and we can see with our eyes, that there will not be one stone left standing. And so they went out to the mount called Olives. I think that was the place. And so the Bible says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple. And Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. They wanted to know, when will these things be? And they even further says, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? So then Jesus gave him this exhortation. He says, take heed. Very personal in instruction to each one of them. Take heed. He says, take heed lest any man deceive you. So it was something that Jesus was well aware of, that how we are could be deceived by other people. So Jesus was warning them, take heed that no man deceive you. And then he goes on to further say, "For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." And he goes on to speak about the signs of the times. He says, "When you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet." It's very comforting, at least when I read these words for myself, in the day that we live, that there are things happening in this life, in this world. And I would say that Jesus, if he was here, and we can even believe that he is here, I would have to think he would tell us these same things that the disciples, when he had told them that this place, this temple grounds where we are here now, there shall not be left one stone upon another. And so I suppose they probably were concerned that when. Well, they asked them when. And I wouldn't have to think that if Jesus was here today in our midst, he would have those same words of instruction unto us. Be ye not troubled. We don't have to worry what takes place here in this life, although it does cause distress maybe or concern, and we want, we would like it if others would believe. That's our wish. It's, as we heard this morning through our dear brother, the will of God, as he read from the letter of Peter. The will of God is that all men would come unto repentance. There's many things in God's word that I have to say that I don't understand. But I believe that this is God's word, the words written in this book, and they're all God's words. And even if I don't understand, I believe. The Bible says that God chooses us. We haven't chosen God. That's one of those concepts that my mind can go round and around in my mind. I don't understand it. But I'm thankful that God has called me, that he has forgiven me. And when he looks from heaven, he considers me as one of his children. But Jesus was telling his disciples that be not troubled. Don't worry. But he says, when you hear of these things, the end is not yet. And he goes on to say, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. And these are the beginnings of sorrows. We can think that from the day that Jesus spoke these things, it very well could be that all of these things have already come to be. We don't know. We don't know when the end will be, as we heard this morning, as we heard in our text, that not even Jesus knows. And so when God sends Jesus to come, we will have to think that there will be many surprised people. And as we also go about our daily life, we might be surprised when he comes. But we will not be surprised that he comes. We expect him to come. And we might be living in, and we might not. We might have already passed from life unto eternity. And then it goes on in that same chapter. It goes through many different signs, and if you get a chance to read that chapter, the whole chapter, you can read and you can even apply those things to many things here in our day and in our life. Jesus told his disciples, and I don't understand this, but because God's word is a living word. It applies to all generations and all people. He says, the 31st verse, he says, heaven and earth shall, or I'm not sure where I was reading that, but from the 29th verse it says, so ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. So Jesus was telling his disciples, when you see these things, be ready. We don't need to worry, but we need to be ready. We need to be ready for when Jesus comes. And even as you have been given, I'm sure all of you in your time have been given some great gift. Maybe at Christmas time or some other time of your life, I'm sure there's always, in your mind, there's probably one gift that you were given that's very special. And you remember it very clearly when you received it. And I'm sure when you received it, you thought, you know, I'm going to take such good care of it. And by it, maybe it's over the years or the days or the months, you've kind of forgotten about that special gift. And maybe it's just sat somewhere and collected dirt and dust. But let's not let that happen to this gift of faith that we have. Let us keep it dear to us. God has given you that gift. And when he gave you that gift, he also gave you a way to take care of it. Many ways to strengthen it and to care for it. He sent his son into this world to suffer and die. And through his name and his blood, we can take care of that gift. Wash it. Even as you get a new car, you wash it oftentimes. But as the days go on and the months go by, I'm sure we wash it less frequently. But let us not neglect the gift of faith in that same way. Let us take care of it daily. Ask for the gospel every day. The devil knows that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And as the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel either. We know that the Apostle Paul had, in his day as an unbeliever, when he was referred to as Saul of Tarsus, he thought he was believing correctly. He thought he was believing perfectly according to God's word. In fact, he even writes in one of his writings of a Pharisee who was the greatest. And before the law, he was blameless. That's how successful he thought he had traveled. Until Jesus approached him in the way. Struck him blind. Had a conversation with him. This was already after Jesus had ascended into heaven. Paul didn't know what was happening. He didn't understand it. But he heard a voice. And he asked, who art thou? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Paul asked, what shall I do? And Jesus told him, go to that city. And I don't remember what city it was, Tarsus or Damascus maybe. And there shall a man be there, a believing man. He shall forgive you. That same power has been given unto the children of God today. To translate from death unto life. To forgive each one of us daily our sins and our doubts. So that we can remain traveling and be assured of that as Paul was assured, there's no name under heaven in which a man can be saved except the name and blood of Jesus. He was convinced. He was convinced previously in his unbelief that he was traveling in the right way. But when Jesus approached him, and when Ananias laid his hands upon Saul and preached unto him through the power of God's Holy Spirit, he realized the power of God through his Spirit. And from that day forward, he endeavored in the same way as you and I, struggling to remain in faith, battling against sin, and when sin beset, begging for the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel. Dear young believers, hold on to the gospel. When you falter and fall, as we all do, don't be ashamed of the gospel, but go speak of the matters as they are. And I can promise you that your sins will be forgiven. There was another text that was set aside for this theme, which is from the 25th chapter of Matthew. And it speaks unto us of the 10 virgins. And it says how there was 5 that were wise and there were 5 that were foolish. The 5 wise ones kept oil in their lamps. Daily, I would have to think, they asked for the gospel. And the oil of God's Spirit was replenished in those vessels. They were ready when the bridegroom came. But there were those also that lived a chaste life. They were virgins, but they had no oil in their lamps. And when they heard that the bridegroom was coming, then they wanted oil in their lamps. And it's one of those things that they asked those that had oil, that give us of your oil. Our lamps have gone out. And those wise virgins had to say, go to those that sell. We as God's children want to always give of God's Spirit, give of His oil to those that ask. But as we heard this morning, there will come a day when God will close the doors to His kingdom. And then we will no longer be able to give. But we can also read in that portion of God's Word how those 5 foolish ones then, when they came and to the 5 wise ones, and they said in this way, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. They demanded to be given that oil. No repentance, but a demand. God wants all men, as we heard this morning, to repent and believe the gospel. It's not, we don't demand from God, but we humbly ask through repentance for forgiveness. Verily, verily, I say unto that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So Jesus was telling his disciples when they had asked him that when shall these things, Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That same word which we have heard many times before. The same word which we have read from this evening. This is the only lasting thing from this world. And if your faith is founded upon these words, through God's Spirit, you will be saved. It's the only thing that lasts, as Jesus says here. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray. For you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. So Jesus was now comparing this time, which we are living, we could say, to as a man that took a far journey. And before he left, he commanded the porter to watch. I'm sure you young boys and girls, maybe you've been, your mother and father have had a time in your life of, they've taken a evening off and they've asked you to babysit and maybe they've given you instruction there at home and they said, well, if you could clean this house and you can do this and you can do that and then they've given you some, maybe they've said you can have some treats or whatever it is that while they're gone. And then they left. I know this has happened to me a few times, and in my young life when I was supposed to be a mature babysitter at home, but my mother and father left things didn't, maybe got a little bit out of hand, and we goofed around maybe a little bit, and I know there was a couple times my mom and dad forgot something at home, and 5 minutes later they coming down the driveway. And I wasn't doing things that I was supposed to do, and a little bit of panic. But when the day that Jesus comes, let us not be like that. Then searching and trying to make amends or trying to clean up quickly or whatever it might be. Let us be ready. Are we ready, dear brothers and sisters? By having our sins washed away, endeavoring by faith, endeavoring to keep faith in a clean conscience. I don't quite understand the conscience. The Bible says that every man has a conscience. But we know as sometimes I've tried to think of it in this way that the conscience is like a window. And you know sometimes when you're traveling down the road, you're going on a vacation and a trip, you're traveling through maybe at night and there's more bugs and they're splattering against the window and you're trying to clean them off and pretty soon they're just all smeared and you have to stop and get the scrubber out and clean it off. And then you can see clearly again. That's kind of how we take care of our conscience. The sin is like those bugs that stain and cloud the way, and pretty soon it's not very clear, and we need to take care of it, wash it clean. And then we can see clean, and it feels so good to travel down the road then again and seeing so clearly. That is how we take care of our conscience also. We want to put those sins away that, like those bugs splattered on the window. You can see them, you can see around them, but pretty soon it gets so tiring, especially when you're traveling into the sun and it's glaring and it's your windshield is a mess. Dear brothers and sisters, we have that such pure blood of the Lord Jesus. It can even wash the dirtiest conscience clean. Let us use that, dear brothers and sisters. As I've said this before, but it comes to mind again, so I will say it again, but as I was talking to one brother, and he was questioning about this matter of, do we need to care for those matters of conscience, that aren't we just saved by just believing the gospel? And I had to say that, yes, we're saved by faith. Faith in God. Faith in the merit work of His Son. But that faith, sin destroys that simple faith. And so we put sins away as they beset. And it to some degree it seemed like we were going around and around about this matter of caring for the conscience. And then I just finally just had to say that what happens to one when they lose faith? What happened to them? How did they lose faith? And we both had to agree that there were sins there that were not cared for. And God's Spirit left. Became too dirty. And God's Spirit left. And then there was no longer faith. God wants to dwell in you, dear brothers and sisters. He wants you to make it to heaven. But He wants to reside in a clean place. And so, because He wants to reside in a clean place, He's giving you this great gift to put matters away through the name and blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus. So do not be ashamed of the gospel. We can be ashamed of those sins that we've done, and we should be. But it feels so good, and we can see so clearly when our matters are well and they're all forgiven. We know that it's not possible for us to confess every sin, but it sure feels good when we've been tripping over some matter for some time and dragging it around with us, and it gets so heavy, and the footsteps become so slow. But when we've been able to confess the matters as they are, and God has been there washing, blessing, our promises are so sure that we want to endeavor again on the way to heaven. And it feels so light and so joyful and so free. Let us remember the power of the gospel, dear brothers and sisters. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe. And so Jesus says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. We have been given here in the kingdom of God those that have been asked to serve and as the watchmen's on the walls of Zion. And you mothers and fathers have been asked to serve on as watchmen on the walls of your own home, Zion. And when you see danger approaching, you wouldn't wait until the enemy is right there to overtake. Even in a natural battle, and some of you have served our country there in the armed forces, and you know, as you see the danger approaching, you would want to give enough warning so people could be ready. And so it is that you, dear mothers and fathers, do not be ashamed of the gospel, but speak of the matters. As you see things happening here, speak of the matters. Be that watchman on the walls of Zion that sounds that trumpet to warn others. He says, "Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning." We don't know when Jesus comes. Jesus says he will come as a thief in the night. And I'm sure you, dear mothers and fathers, as you lay down for the night's rest, you go make sure that the doors are locked, that things are put away. You take care that you would be secure when you rest for the evening. And some of you, I'm sure, have dogs there at home, and sometimes in the middle of the night they start barking and it awakes us. And we start to wonder that, what's out there? And so it is when we hear in God's kingdom, these from the trumpet, a clear sound that there's danger approaching. Be ready. Listen. As one of the other texts from Revelations, that he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let us keep our ears open and our eyesight going forward to the destination of heaven. We don't know when Jesus comes. As Jesus, when he left this earth, on Ascension Day, when he was with his disciples and he was visiting with them, and then he began to rise from the earth. And we would be like they, as he ascended into heaven, their eyes followed him up into the sky. And then the angels appeared unto them and says, "Why stand you gazing up into heaven?" And we know why they were. They were watching Jesus go. It was an unexpected thing. And the Bible says that these angels told those disciples that Jesus will come in that same manner as you've seen him go. We might be surprised, but let us not be surprised that he does come, dear brothers and sisters. And let us be ready. Even as that other portion that we had referred to from the ten virgins, that they all slumbered and slept. We get tired on this journey of faith. But dear brothers and sisters, let us not give up the battle. Let us get strength through the gospel to continue to battle onward. It's a good endeavor, dear brothers and sisters, and when I look at the believers, to me it just seems like why would anyone choose another way? The believers are happy people. They're at peace. They're traveling towards heaven. It's not like we're just so downtrodden all the time. We have peace in our heart. We're going to heaven. We're on our way there. God is our Father. He knows everything that lies before us, and we don't. And we can so securely trust that he will make a way for us. And all we need to do is put our sins away, and he will lead us to the destination. Be encouraged. Be emboldened, dear brothers and sisters. Continue to travel upon this way of faith. Believe, even this evening, your latest doubts, your latest worries, your latest sins of the journey, you can uplift your hearts and believe. All of your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. It's good to continue to watch and wait. Let us be patient. Let us not tire. But continue onward freely as God's children, not carrying the burden of sin, but leaving it there at the grace fountain, where God is present, where God washes your sins away through the name and blood of his Son. So be encouraged and be emboldened, and even as you go to your night's rest and you have become tired even in a temporal way from the day's travel. You can go there with that assurance of faith that if the Lord Jesus comes this evening, you will be ready. Your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and Holy Atonement blood. And that is the message that I want to leave with this evening as I leave this place. Will you still bless me? Can I hear the gospel? Will you forgive me for my sins? I want to travel with you, dear brothers and sisters. I'm assured at the end of this journey, there is a reward waiting in heaven for us. And as the Apostle Paul says that as he approached the last days of his life and he wrote that letter to Timothy, he says, and not only for me, he was assured of that reward for himself by faith. But he says, not only for me, but for all them that love his appearing. So be emboldened, be encouraged to continue onward, dear brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.